You'll read in this month's magazine that we're together again this month. This is a reference back to the Forward Together campaign that we had some years back. And we need to be together again as a church because we have a big problem. We're spending more money than we have to spend, and we don't have any reserves to cover the deficit. Most of our money is spent on people. People who are doing God's work in the church and in the community. It takes me back to the 70s when we had a financial crisis in the health service. I think we've got another one now, but this was back in the 70s. I worked for a group of hospitals in London. And I had the job of explaining to the hospital consultants what had to be done. We would have to reduce our staff costs because so much of our money went on staff. So rotas and overtime payments, methods of working, operating schedules, everything had to be looked at in terms of cost. It was like being thrown to the wolves, being sent to speak to the hospital consultants, but it was absolutely vital that everybody who worked in the hospitals understood the position. And then they could play their part in getting us back on track. Everybody had to work together, or important services would have been lost. We might even have had to close one of our hospitals. We're looking this month at the ways we can act together to get Liberton Kirk back on track. And today we're thinking about praying together. Today's reading is from part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just been talking about giving to the needy and has been urging people not to shout their Christianity from the rooftops as they give, but just to get on with it quietly. They shouldn't be doing it so that other people can see how good they are. And then he goes on to prayer. So the reading is on page 970 in the Pew Bibles. Page 970, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, reading from verse 5. Jesus speaking. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord. You might be thinking that this is a strange reading to pick when we're talking about praying together, since it talks about going into your room and praying in secret. But let's look at it just a little bit more closely. The prayer Jesus gives his disciples is a prayer which binds us all together as Christians. Our Father, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. This is a prayer we can say alone, knowing that we are a member of God's family and that thousands of people all around the globe may be saying the same words at the same time. Or we can say it with others. One thing we learn from the account of the disciples after Jesus' ascension was that they spent a lot of time praying together. And we learn from the accounts of the early church that they spent a lot of time praying together. Jewish Christians still went to the temple and the synagogue for the set times of prayer, but they also prayed together in their homes and in their meeting places. Their meeting places were often the bigger homes of people. When Jesus said we should pray in secret, he was telling us not to do it ostentatiously so that others would think how pious we were, but to get on with it quietly. This is between you and God. The prayer he gave us to say is one which covers all the elements that our prayers should contain. It puts God first, praising him, acknowledging him as our Heavenly Father. It prays for his kingdom to come. Only then does it go on to ask for our daily needs and seek forgiveness and protection. And note that it is daily bread that we ask for. We ask this day. So Jesus clearly hoped that his disciples would develop an ongoing prayer life, a regular daily contact with God, developing a relationship with him, changing their lives because of it. Later, he emphasized to them that they should keep praying in two parables, the parable of the friend at midnight asking for loaves of bread, the parable of the persistent widow nagging somebody for justice. He wants his disciples, and he wants us too, to pray regularly and to keep on praying. When we were looking at Celtic Christianity in the summer, we learned that prayer was central, something which belonged to every aspect of their daily lives, not just set times and places. Much more recently, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, prayer does not mean simply to pour out one's heart. It means rather to find the way to God and to speak with him, whether the heart is full or empty. To find the way to God and to speak with him. If we build up our relationship with God in prayer, regular conversation with him, then we'll have the confidence to pray when we have a real crying out need. We've been talking about faith over the last month, looking mainly at the letter of James, finishing up last week with a faith that is real. We need that faith when we pray. What it gives us, firstly, is expectation that God will hear and that God will respond Listen to Paul speaking to the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is about placing our lives and the lives of others and the life of our church into the safe hands of God. And secondly, faith gives us conviction. Conviction that God's answer will be the right one for us. Paul said to the Romans, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So we place our needs into God's hands and we trust him to give us what we need. And perhaps we learn gradually, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what we should be asking for. The sort of strength we should be asking for, which Rachel was talking about. Or like Solomon, who knew to ask God for wisdom rather than material things. And thirdly, our faith gives us the assurance that God cares. The God we speak to is our loving Father. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the ultimate proof of the depth of that love. John said in his first letter, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So we live our lives in the loving arms of God, wherever we may be. We know those wonderful words of Psalm 139. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. God wants us to be as close to him in prayer as Jesus was. He is there, but he wants us to be close to him. In Jesus, we have somebody who's lived on earth, who knows what it's like to be a human being, who knows what it's like to feel as we do. And Jesus spent a lot of time praying to God to meet his human needs. And we can follow his example. There's something else in that passage we read about the words we use. Jesus said, "Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Perhaps that's particularly relevant if we're thinking about praying together. Because many people worry about being put on the spot, having to say something, having to pray out loud. Perhaps they're not comfortable with that thought. But Jesus says you don't have to. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God knows what's in your heart. We have so many opportunities in our church for praying together. Apart from praying together in church services, when we say the Lord's Prayer together, we say Amen at the end of a prayer to join in with that prayer. But there's a prayer group before the service. There's prayer with others after the service. There's prayer in the upper room on a Tuesday, and it's together with other people at set times. Prayer in our house groups for ourselves and our church and our world. There's something special about praying together with a group of people that you know well. There's a lovely little passage in Ecclesiastes which says why we are better together. There's greater fruitfulness. We produce more. There's mutual support when we need it. There's warmth. There's strength. If you still worry about words to say, there are books and websites you can look at to give you help. But the house group I belong to always reads a psalm together at the beginning. The book of Psalms is sometimes called the prayer book of the Bible. It's a book of poetry just waiting to be sung or said together. There are psalms of despair, psalms of lament, psalms of praise and joy, all addressed to God. Raw emotions poured out, every emotion you could think of. There are words in the book of Psalms. In January, the church prayed together here on the eve of the anniversary of the laying of the foundation stone. We all moved around in and outside the building, praying about its place in the life of the church, giving thanks, praying for the future. We were each doing our own thing, but we were at one. We were together in a shared enterprise. And it was quite powerful. Some of us found it quite emotional because we felt we were praying together not only with the people from our own church today that we knew, but with the people who'd been part of the church over the last 200 years. And prayer together on the pilgrimage to Lindisfarne was special too, because you felt that you were joining in with the Celtic saints. You were praying with them as you followed their footsteps. There's a lovely little hymn in our hymn book. It's Zimbabwean. It's a traditional song. And it goes like this. If you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit shall come down and set God's people free. What that little hymn says is that great things will happen if people of faith pray together. Ray picked out a verse for the ministry team last week in 2 Chronicles. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a big promise to God's people if they're prepared to pray. And we know this to be true in our church life here. Amazing things have happened in the time I've been at this church. Changes have been made in the halls. Crumbling stonework's been put back together. The inside of the church has been totally changed to be a light, welcoming space. And it's not just buildings. We have staff who are at the forefront of the work with the elderly and the housebound, the children, the teenagers. Exciting things are reported to us, things that are happening as they go about their work in the church and in the community. All these things have happened because of God's goodness to us. They've happened after a good deal of prayer. They've happened after a good deal of prayer together. That's why on the 6th and the 7th of November, we'll be praying together about our financial problems. For when two or three come together in my name, there am I with them, Jesus promised. So we know our prayers will be heard. The passage we read this morning ends with Jesus picking up on the line in the prayer he's just given his disciples, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And he goes over it again. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. God calls us to be accountable. If he forgives, then surely we can forgive too. We all know that we need a framework of law in our society, or it would fall apart. Nobody wants anarchy. But in our own spiritual lives, we need a framework of accountability to our Maker and Saviour. That's what keeps us from falling apart. And that framework comes through prayer. A framework where we can repent and be helped to follow the right paths. A framework where we learn to pray about the right things. A framework which is part of that relationship with God, which I was talking about earlier. An ongoing prayer life gives us a relationship with God which allows us to be totally open, to complain to him if we want to ask him for guidance, to ask for clarity. Lord, help me to understand why the church needs more money. Lord, should I be doing something about this? Lord, show me the way. But then, being open to listening to what he has to say, because he will answer. Do you believe, along with the people of Zimbabwe, that people of faith, the Church of Jesus Christ, praying together, can achieve great things? That with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be set free from our worries? I believe we can. But I invite you all to be part of it too. I think we should pray together the words of the prayer that Jesus taught us. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive them debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.